I've been told there's two types of people in the world. There are givers and there are takers. And my question is, which one are you? Now, some of you already tensed up on me. It's like, oh no, you're breaking out in hives. Giving is in every area of your life. You give with your words. Some of you are so, forgive me, so stingy when it comes to a compliment. When it comes to just telling your wife how, or your husband, how great and wonderful he is or she is. You are just a skinflint, and you are just a, you get my point? You are just an old miser with your words. Some of you, God has given incredible talents. And you want everybody to serve you. And you don't serve. Two types of people in the world. Givers and takers. I was taught from a young age to be a generous giver. Most generous person I ever met was my grandpa. I never saw him one time in my life that I can remember where he didn't give me some money. You started off when I was a kid, he'd give me $5. And as inflation grew, I remember one of the last times I saw him. David was like 6 months old, and he's like, "You doing all right?" I was like, "Yeah." I was like, "This woman's expensive." And I was like, these diapers are expensive. He pulled out a $100 bill. I was like, "Man, that's a lot better than the $5 bill." Generous. Always, always, always giving. So just, I'm not beating you up today. I want to challenge you to be generous in every area of your life, looking at these life principles. Here's the way it was with me. It was easy to give when all I had was a $10 allowance. All right, $1 I'm going to give to the Lord. And then when I got the first job at Chick-fil-A, $3.50 an hour. I think the first check I got was like $63 because I could only work on Saturdays. Well, that was like $6.30. Okay, I can do that. But the larger those checks got, the tougher the giving became. Because I don't understand this passage of Scripture. And when you understand this promise and this principle, giving is no longer a drudge. Giving is a delight. So this morning, three truths that will radically change your life in the way you live every area. So don't go freezing up on me and like, oh no. Every area of your life. I'm talking about your words. I'm talking about your talents. And yes, I'm talking about your treasure. Some of you, some of us, we could change whole countries if we would just say, I'm committed to giving generously. Sermon I'm entitling, Giving, Living. First truth is this. Notice the principle. 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 6 says, But this I say, he which soweth sparingly shall reap also sparingly. But he which soweth bountifully shall reap also bountifully. It's the law of the harvest. Every farmer in here understands it. Whatever you sow, you're going to reap. A tight-fisted farmer is going to have a meager harvest. So if you sow a quarter of an acre of corn, you understand this, farmers. You're only going to reap a quarter of an acre of corn. You can say, but I'm going to pray that I reap an acre of corn. There's a law. The law of the harvest. Whatever you sow, that is what you're going to reap. See, God made in this tiny little seed something miraculous. And it's life. And inside of that tiny little seed is greatness. And when you sow that seed, God says, I will do something miraculous. Every farmer in here gets it. Yes, if I will sow the corn, or if I will sow the tomato, or if I will sow the apple, hey, God is going to bless my gift and it's going to produce return on investment. You know, I was a financial planner for like 13 years. Everybody wants to know, if I invest, what kind of return am I going to get on my investment? There is no better return on investment than this here in 2 Corinthians chapter 9. This is from one seed. But you know, inside of this little fruit is between 800 and 1,200 seeds. That's what you call return on investment. And as great as an investment as that is, this one is far better. You say, I don't know. Proverbs chapter 11, verse 24. There is that scattereth and yet increaseth. And there is that withholdeth more than is meet, but it tends to poverty. World says, the way you get ahead, you cheat, you lie, you cut corners, you step on people, you run over them. God says, no, 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 the way you get ahead, be extravagantly generous in every area of your life. You say, I don't know. Look at verse 25. The generous soul, King James says, the liberal soul shall be, I like the next word, shall be made fat. And he that watereth shall be watered also himself. Promise. It's a principle. When you give, God's got your back. Every single time. Proverbs 22, verse 9. He that has a bountiful eye or a generous eye, he shall be blessed. For he giveth of his bread to the poor. Remember my grandpa setting Nolan and I down when I was like 7 or 8 years old. He said, boys, you can't outgive God. And God will be debtor to no one. It's true. It worked in the 40s. It worked in the 50s. And it's still working today. Amen. Farmer who sows his seed, he doesn't lose his seed. He gains a crop. Now, the devil has put stuff into our minds. Oh, no. If I give, I lose. When you give with your words, when you give with your talents, you're losing nothing. You are saying, God, I'm trusting you. I'm trusting you that you keep your word and you're going to do what you said. And I'm getting ready to reap in due season. His name was R.G. Letourneau. Incredible industrialist. You probably heard of the institution that was founded by him, Letourneau University. This is what he said. Now R.G. Letourneau, he was giving 90% of his income to God, to missions, to orphans, to widows at his death. This is what he said. I shovel it out. And as much as I shovel it out, God shovels it in. And God's got a bigger shovel than I got. But the question is, are you going to live by fear? I don't know if I can afford to be generous. Or are you going to live by faith? God said it, and I believe it. Number one, the principle. Number two, whenever I was helping somebody with investing, they would always ask, what's the catch? What's the fine print? So here's the fine print. Look at the next verse. Look at verse 7. Every man, as he purposeth in his heart, let him give. Not grudgingly or of necessity, for God loves a cheerful giver. as he purposeth in his heart. So God's looking at your heart to see why you're giving. So you decide how much you want to give God. You decide how much you want to give to missions. You decide how much you want to help those people that you work with. You decide what you want to do with your talents. It's up to you, and it's up to your heart. Now look on it. As he purposes in his heart, so let him give. Not grudgingly. In the original, it means out of sorrow. God wants nothing that is given to him out of pain and out of sorrow. God says, no, I don't need it. Just keep it. Not grudgingly. What is this? Or out of necessity. We sing the old song. My father is rich in houses and lands. He holds the wealth of the world in his hands. Of rubies, of diamonds, of silver and gold. His coffers are rich. He has riches untold. It's true. God does not want your money. It's about you trusting him with your heart. That's why you should be kind. That's why you should be generous. That's why you should give up your time when you don't have it. God, I'm going to serve. I'm going to give him my time, although you know I'm too busy. I just believe if I'll give him my time, you'll help things go smoother with the time that I have left. That's what he says, and I'll show it to you in a minute. Look what the verse says. Not grudgingly or of necessity or of compulsion. Paul didn't want them to be pressured to give. Best way I can explain this. Well, look what it says. For God loves a cheerful giver. It means a hilarious giver. God loves somebody that says, woohoo, gets excited. I wish you could have been here for vacation Bible school. Now, it happens about every year. Every year we're trying to pump up the boys, and we give the offering to some mission project. We try to pump up the boys to give big time to the offering. And every year the boys say, this is going to be our year. We're going to win. Usually the girls always win. And this year the girls won again, as they have for like 87 years. But I wish you could see these kids. They haven't been perverted by fear. It's your money. They bring grandpa's $20 bill and pennies and quarters, and they're excited. They're running. Let me give to help those kids in Ukraine. They're running. That's what he's saying. God loves generous givers, excited givers. Best way I can explain it like this. How many of you have seen the Christmas, Charles Dickens, the movie, the play, The Christmas Carol? Come on, y'all seen that. Remember Ebenezer Scrooge? Y'all remember, come on, I need hands. Balcony, I need hands. You remember Ebenezer Scrooge? Remember the old Ebenezer Scrooge, tight-fisted, hand at the grindstone. Remember what he said? Bah! Y'all say humbug better than you say amen. All right. He has his encounter. Then he comes back and he says, Merry Christmas, everyone. Merry Christmas, everyone. He's changed. Now here's the thought. Jesus is the greatest giver there has ever been. Jesus gave everything to you. You have the riches of his glory. He left heaven and was made poor and came to earth. He had nothing. So he who had it all gave it up to came and died as a criminal. He is the greatest giver. And he says to you, be like me. Be generous and be a giver. At 16, he left home. His father was incredibly poor and could support him no longer. So he left home. He was going to go out, get a job, and make some money. He never forgot the last words his mother said. His mother said, "You stay close to the Lord and don't forget your tithe to give it to God." And he did. He got a job working in the soap business. And he got the opportunity to buy in as part owner of this soap company. And then the partner died a few years later, and he became the sole owner of this company. Still remember the words of his mother. "You stay close to God, and you honor him with your money, and you give your tithes." Called the accountant in. He says, "I want to set up a separate account for the business. Not my money, for the business. And I want to give 10% off the top before we pay any bills, before we pay employees. I want it off the top to go to God." Accountant says, "I don't think that's wise." Guy says, "I think it is wise, because I can trust God." And he did it. And they didn't go broke. God bless their company. A couple years later, he called him back in. He says, "How we doing?" He said, "We've never had as good years as we've had the last 2 years." He said, "Good. That 10% off the top, I want to take it to 20%. He said, "We're not doing that good." He said, "Our God, we can trust him." I'll make this story short. He took it to 50%, not his money, off the top of the company, and was giving it to God. You say, who was this guy? What was his name, and what was his company? William Colgate, from the Colgate Palm Olive Company. Some of you ladies, you know that palm olive. Hey, the principle works. In big business or in small households? Number one, the principle. Number two, the prerequisite. God loves a cheerful giver. Number three, here's the promise. Best part of this is the promise. Did a lot of investing, did some venture capital. Everybody wants to know, what kind of return you going to give me? You give me 5%, you're going to give me 8%. What kind of return are you going to give me? You will never get a return as good as this. Look at verse 8. "And God is able." We can just stop right there. That's what it comes down to with your time. Is God able? That's what it comes down to, your talents. Well, is God able to help you out? That's what it comes down to, your words. Is God able? And yes, it comes down to your money that you're holding so tight. Is God able to take care of your finances? It's a matter of faith over fear. Can you trust God? Is God able? God is able. Covers it all. Others will not always be able to help. Your employer will not always be there. Your grandpa will not always be there. God Almighty will always be there. Amen? God is able, look on the verse, to make all grace abound towards you. Grace. What is grace? It's God's unmerited blessings to believers through Christ. What is grace? The undeserved, spontaneous, providing, pardoning love of God Almighty. The grace of God is God giving himself to meet every need you have. Hold on a second. Get it? Should I trust God to be generous in every area of my life? Absolutely. What kind of promise do I have? God Almighty. And if that's not enough, God's able to give you himself. You say, "Yeah, but you don't know my business. You don't know my occupation. It's kind of a tough." God's able. God's able to give. But look at the verse. God's able to give you all grace. It refers to the quantity of supply that there's no need for more. Now, I like the little dab of do ya commercial. Just a little dab of do ya. I like this better. God says, if you will trust me, some of you husbands need to do this. If you'll trust me, I'll give you all grace. Not just a little dab. I'm able. I'll give you all of it. All grace. Look what the verse says. All grace abound means to increase, means to overflow, to have more than enough. So you have all grace abounding in your life. My dear sweet mother, God bless her righteous soul, was an English teacher. If she told me this one time, and my brother, she told me this 1,000 and probably told my brother 5,000. You're using a double negative. Won't do no good. Can't do nothing. Boys, that's not proper English. I'm here to point out, I learned something from my dear saintly mother. Right here in this verse, this is a triple positive. I don't know if I get extra credit for that. All grace abound. God says, hey, you trust me every area of your life. You say, you don't know my marriage. Trust me. All grace abound towards you. You don't know my finances. All grace abound towards you. Hey, you don't know my boss. All grace abound towards you. The question is God able? Is God able? That's the question. Look on the verse. That you, always having all sufficiency in most things. It doesn't say you'll always. That means middle of the night, middle of the day. That means when it's freezing outside and it's 22 degrees, or when it's 118 outside, or at least it feels like it. Always having, man, if you guys had hankies, right now would be the time to wave it. If you will be generous in every area of your life, look what he says. I will always have all sufficiency in all things. All things, that means when you're working on the car and you're turning riches, he'll help you out. And that means when you're in the attic and you're working with insulation, he'll help you out. That means when you're out there cutting the grass, he'll help you out. That means when you're cooking in the kitchen, look what the verse says. Don't take all sufficiency in all things. You know what all things mean? Everything. Everything that you do, he says, I'll help you out. And not just a little bit. I'll make all grace abound to you in all things. He said, I don't know about it. Paul got bit by a snake. Acts 28 verse 6. God helped him out. Paul had help in times of suffering. God helped him out. Paul went facing death. 2 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 55. God helped him out. God says, hey, not that you won't have problems. You will have problems. But in the midst of those problems, I'll help you out. Say, preacher, I don't know. Martin Luther said this. Your wallet is the last part of you to be converted. And the reason is fear. Some of you, I want you to jump out and just trust God today with your words and say, I'm going to be a better spouse. And I'm just going to start praising. Some of you, we got July 4th coming up here. Trust God with your time. Some of you need to trust him with your money. And one last thought. This is not a get-rich scheme. So if you go and sow a seed of $1,000, you're not going to be driving a Rolls Royce next week. So this is not what this is about. So if you heard me saying that, that's not what I'm saying. I'm saying you should be generous in every area of your life. And when you are, God will help you out. Listen, I don't give so I'll be rich. I'm already rich. I'm rich with stuff that money can't buy. So I don't need houses. I don't need cars. I don't need clothes. I don't need toys. I got eternal life. I give with my words, with my talents, with my time, with my treasure, because God's been so good to me. So yeah, I want to give extravagantly. I want to give as much as I possibly can. I want to give and give and give and give and give. And God says, when you do, I got you back. And I got a bigger shovel than you got. The question is God able? You know, I grew up playing basketball. The gym where my brother and I would play was in Avondale, Georgia. Right behind the gym where we played was this mill called the Georgia Duck, and they made conveyor belts. And I didn't know this at the time, the owner of this mill was an African-American gentleman named Milton Scott, born 1895. He got radically saved and just decided he was going to use his little mill to change the world. And he says, I'm just going to use the mill to change the world through my giving. Now here's what's interesting. He operated a successful textile mill from the age of 25 to the age of 102. Was still going into the office and working until he was 102 years old. He had this unquenchable desire, I want to expand God's kingdom. And literally, he was giving, giving, giving. He was confronted by a mugger. Told the mugger, shoot, I know where I'm going, and I got stuff waiting for me when I get there. And he witnessed to the mugger and led the mugger to the Lord. Milton Scott, by the world standards, was not an overly rich man because he gave so much of it away. Here's what's interesting. When he died, they went into his closet. He had 4 suits, 4 pair of shoes, 6 white shirts. He drove just a regular Chevrolet truck, and he would change it every 10 years. And yet his company brought in millions and millions and millions of dollars every year. His allotment that he would give, that he would wipe it out by doing mission projects, and he would have to wait till the first of the month so he would get another allotment, because this is what he said, I was created by God to give, and I want to do everything I can to do it. My question for every one of you, are you giving in your living? Why are you here? With your words. Some of you are so hurtful and harmful with your words. Why don't you be generous? How about with your talents? What are you doing with your talents to expand the kingdom? How about your time? What are you doing just to serve your neighbors? Children, what are you doing to serve Jesus with your time? And what are you doing to serve the Lord with your treasure? Can I push you? In a church that's very generous, can I push you? Every one of those areas. Do more. You say, well, I'm too old. You're still here. Well, I'm this or I'm that. Can I push you to do more? You say, why? Because there's a money-back guarantee that he'll make all grace abound abundantly toward you in everything, if you'll do it.